poem and chant about grief, grieving with the earth and as a part of the earth. It is the destruction of the earth in our lives that drives us half insane, and more than half. To destroy that which was given to us in trust, how will we bear it? It is our own bodies that we give to be broken. Our bodies existing before us and after us in clod and cloud, worm and tree, that we, driving or driven, despise in our greed to live, in our haste to die. To have lost, wantonly, the ancient forests, the vast grasslands, the mighty glaciers, is our madness. The presence in our very bodies of our grief. And this grief we must feel, for each of us is a cell in the great body of earth. It is the destruction of this great body in our own lifetimes that drives us half insane, and more than half. To have destroyed what was handed to us in trust, how will we bear it? Truly, it is our own bodies we have given over to be broken, our bodies that exist before our lives and after our lives, in the clod and the cloud, in the worm and the tree. That we, in our frenetic driving through life or being driven through life, despise. We have despised our own bodies unknowingly, in the body of earth unknowingly, in our greed to live and our haste to die. So now we have lost wantonly so many ancient forests, so much of the rich topsoil of the vast grasslands, so much of the mighty glacial ice. And we must begin by feeling it as grief in our body. Hey, oh, hey. You gods of mystery and nature, please forgive us if by some miracle of luck or chance the forest can regenerate, the ice can reform, the grasses can rise again, the soil fill out. May it be so. May it be so. May it be so.
Wow. How many were touched by that? I know. I could just like, can I just cry for a while? And thank you for mentioning that there is grief. That was beautiful. Maddie Sato and Timothy. What's your last name, Timothy? McLaughlin. We have the gift of them here with us now, but they are coming back and doing a Saturday evening, May 20th, a praising... What is it? Praising Earth? Praising Earth. I went to the last one, and it is phenomenal. So please see them. There's flyers out there. Let's give some more love to Maddie and Timothy. So powerful. Love your voice and the mixture with your poem. Yeah. Okay, Wendell Berry's. Wendell Berry may be in this book that I'm going to be talking to you about today. Most likely, I think I've heard that name. So I'm going to start off with a story. You like stories. We got our pajamas on. You know, it's your bedtime story, but please, no sleeping. Although, anyway. Once upon a time, a very, 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 very long, long, long time ago, a lady was born, and she was the most magnificent and gracious and beautiful being that there ever was. This woman was so beautiful, so radiant. She was expressive, and she was diverse, and she was prosperous in every way. She was lavish, and she was giving in infinite ways. And that explains why she birthed. She gave birth to so many children. She was the most excellent mother that ever existed. In fact, mothering seemed to be her forte, her only reason for being. She cared so much, tenderly and lovingly, for all of her children, sparing nothing. She gave each of her children everything and anything they ever wanted, anything they needed, and even more. Everything she had was theirs. There was never a mother more loving than she. Her children were many, and they loved her as well as they could, as children can sometimes not understand what parents are about until maybe they become a parent themselves, right? Yet they loved their mother, and they spent their younger years lavishing and soaking up all the love. Yet as all children do, the children grew. And as they grew busier and busier with lives of their own. Now grown, they still connect with their mother, just not so much. Maybe on Mother's Day or holidays or on vacations. And even though they have these busy lives, they were less involved with being with their mother, which is pretty natural. But she continued to love and support them in all ways. The name of this great mother, of course, is Mother Earth. It is Mother Earth, the greatest mother that has ever been and ever will be, the mother of all of creation. The earth is our mother. So my question to you is, how much time do you spend with the mother? How much time do you think about the mother and give love and appreciation and gratitude to the mother? It's a good question, yes? So we all know of such things that have been going on our planet for some time. The devastation, the global warming, the continual rising of temperatures, the increased fires out of control, of drought, increasing floods, animals becoming more and more endangered, forests being taken and stripped, the Mother Earth being, on some level, I would say, raped of her goodness, without appreciation, just taking. We have an earth that has been abused, and that is very unfortunate, and it is very true. And we don't want to be so heavy, but it is the truth. And for me, I cannot stand by. We have Earth Day coming up a week for this coming Saturday, the 22nd. Part of a reason why I'm sharing this with you. So we're all aware and concerned. Yes? Anyone not concerned? I mean, honestly, if we don't do something, we don't have a future. It's up to us. I'm actually going to begin an Earth Care Green Team, and that there's an interest sheet out in the lobby. I have from the Interfaith Power and Light Organization, which is an organization that is here to support congregations. I have more emails and material coming, and I can't do this. This is not a Liz-only job. This is a us. So I'm going to have next week on April 23rd at 12:30, if you're interested, and I will also include Zoom, so that we can talk, and I will bring materials, and we'll see what is ours to do and how we can come together to support our great mother. So even in this global crisis, there's actually an unacknowledged crisis. Would you like to know what that is? Okay, I'll tell you afterwards. There is an unacknowledged spiritual crisis, which is our forgetfulness of the sacred nature of creation. Our focus tends to remain on the scientific data and carbon emissions and the clean energy and the possibility of a technological fix, rather than on the quality of consciousness that created this tragedy. Okay, we're talking now, because this is what we talk about. It's consciousness. We have been conditioned and fear-based in a world that ignores what's going on. We get so caught up because it's the way it works. Hey, this is how we get our groceries. We go to the grocery store and we end up with how much plastic? You know, we've lost touch with nature, the sacredness of our food. The book that I'm going to share with you that I highly, highly recommend is called Spiritual Ecology, The Cry of the Earth. There is 23 essays in here. Thich Nhat Hanh, Wendell Berry, I knew Wendell Berry was in here, and Sandra Ingerman, and many, Richard Rohr, many, many. And it's edited by Llewellyn Von Lee. I'm going to share from this book in the introduction. He says, "The earth is in distress and is calling to us, sending us signs of the extremity of its imbalance through earthquakes, tsunamis, floods and storms, drought and unprecedented heat. There are now indications that its ecosystem as a whole may be approaching a tipping point or state shift of irreversible change with unforeseeable consequences. Some of us are responding. However, it's not that we're separated. We have forgotten. We're not separated from Earth. It is an extension of ourselves. The world is not a problem to be solved. It is a living being to whom we belong. The world is part of our own self, and we are part of its suffering. Until we get to the root of our image of separateness, there can be no healing. And the deepest part of our separateness from creation lies in our forgetfulness of its sacred nature, which is our own sacred nature. When our Western monotheistic culture suppressed the many gods and goddesses of creation, cut down the sacred groves, and banished God to heaven, we began a cycle that has left us with a world destitute of the sacred in a way unimaginable to any indigenous people. The natural world and the people who carry its wisdom know that the created world and all of its inhabitants are sacred, and we belong with each other, to each other. Our separation from the natural world may have given us the fruits of technology and science, but it has left us bereft of any instinctual connection to the spiritual dimension of life, knowing that we're all part of one living being. Now, this book was first written and put together in 2013. And that understanding that there was a spiritual dimension to our ecological crisis was still a fringe idea. However, the Pope, Pope Francis, in 2015, wrote the encyclical Laudato Si, on care for our common home. And he calls it the unprecedented destruction of ecosystems we are visiting upon the earth is rooted in an urgent spiritual and moral questions and demands a response from us. Said that this is not a fringe or a new idea. It's time. And its time is now, because everything is related. So I don't know about you, but I have to confess. And by the way, this is a book that I would say everyone should have. It's got opening our hearts and making us more aware. There's a second book that I just got. It's a lot smaller, but it's the Spiritual Ecology 10 Practices to Reawaken the Sacred in Everyday Life. See, there's two things going on here. Yes, we need to take action and do things differently. But without doing the inner work of coming back into connection as the indigenous people to understand the sacredness of life, we're not going to get the solve. We're not going to solve the problem. It has to be the inner work, our returning to our sacred and remembering, plus those practices. And this is the practices to reawaken the sacred. So that's what I want to be about. I personally realize I have disconnected from nature. Even though I'm a nature lover and I do my part to recycle and I'm very mindful, I've disconnected from nature. What with cell phones and computers and driving my car and going to a grocery store where everything is packaged, do I even think about how that food got there? And do I even give thanks? I'm mindless. I do not connect to the nature that our ancestors had. They saw everything as a part of the one, and they respected it. I know I don't, and I want to change that for myself, and I'm inviting all of you to do the same. One of the things that I did during the pandemic, which was part of my service, is I did a daily video, about 3 minutes. And nature was calling. And some of you may know of Ilan Shamir, he put together True Nature. How many of you have heard advice from a something? Advice from a tree, advice from a bear, advice from the night sky. Well, I'm going to share a few of these. I love these. Let's go with the advice from a bear. Live large. Climb beyond your limitations. When life gets hairy, grin and bear it. Eat well. Live with the seasons. Take a good long nap. And best of all, look after your honey. Advice from a tree. Stand tall and proud. Sink your roots into the earth. Be content with your natural beauty. Go out on a limb. Drink plenty of water. Remember your roots and enjoy the view. And last one I will share, because I've got a lot of them, but advice from the earth, since we're talking about the mother. Be well-rounded. Keep a positive attitude. Have a magnetic personality. Celebrate diversity. Think globally. Be good to your mother. There's no place like home. So, we talk about Mother Earth, seeing her as the mother. But I have a shift for you. How many of you have children? If you have children, raise your hand. Cool, many of you, most of us. Fur babies.
Yeah.
Been caring for somebody at some point in our life, we all have. Spirit suggested, how about we shift this? And what if we thought of the earth as our baby, as our child? Does that shift your feeling? It does to me. It's my baby. The earth is my baby, my child. How do I take care of my child? Do I ignore it? Do I abuse it? Do I neglect it? Or do I give it attention and love? That's what I'm going to invite you to start thinking. The earth is my mother, but what if she's also my baby? And I am entrusted to care for her. So would you like to know how you might care for her? Okay, I'll talk to you. Charlotte, we're going to have some time together. Anybody else want to know?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I know you've got your pajamas on and you might be drifting off, so I got to keep you with me. So who loves acronyms? Your minister, of course. So when I give you this acronym, there's going to be two parts. There is the action to take and there's the consciousness of the sacred, because we have to have both. So the acronym is EARTH. Big surprise. Okay, the E stands for the consciousness part is to embrace Mother Earth, to send her love, to feel love for her, to feel love, to embrace. And the other part is to be eco-friendly. That's your action. What are you doing eco-friendly? Have you learned? There's things you can learn, read, research. What is the things that are going to really help the earth? You're never going to know it all, right? So do some research. Read. What is it that I can do to be more eco-friendly? So now you got your E, go to A. First thing you want to do in consciousness is you want to just be awake and aware of the earth. I will be the first to admit my sin against the earth. It's not missing the mark. I walk with the dog, but I also walk with a cell phone. Whoa. Okay, so I could be looking at nature and connecting with nature. And because I'm a multitasker and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to check things as I'm walking the dog. Ooh, I got nailed on that one. Spirit goes, you might start leaving that and be with nature. So to be awake and aware of our connection. I drove to Albuquerque yesterday. I was thinking about the land, and because I was, of course, in this talk, so I was awake and aware. And the other A for the action is to act. What is the one thing I can do today that would support my child Earth, my mother Earth? And what could I do this week? So you got your A. R, to remember the earth in your prayers. Remember the earth in your prayers. I have out on the table out there that long piece of furniture that there are some prayers. There's an earth prayer, and there's also a link, because at noon on Saturday, you can tap into the Interfaith Power and Light, and it's all in that one piece of paper, and you can be on Facebook, and they will be doing prayers. Or you can just do your own prayer. But I have copies of those prayers for you to remember the earth every day in your prayers. And the other R is to reconnect. Reconnect. Be in nature deliberately, consciously. I'm taking time, even if it's 5 minutes, to go sit by a tree, to hug it, to hold it, to see it. So now you got the R. We're moving into the T. Think about how many things you get from the mother, how much you are given every day. Think. And the other T is thank. Think and thank the earth for all the gifts that she bestows on you. In the morning, good morning, sun. Good morning when you walk out the house. Good morning, sky. Good morning. Good morning, air. When you're eating, are you aware of the sacredness? It's actually a very intimate thing, because you're putting something into your body. We don't think about it. I don't think about it. I just eat, right? So think and thank. The H means to honor. Honor the earth. And how do you honor the earth? The two H's to go with that is have a conversation. You mean you can talk to the mother? You can talk. You could write a letter. Dear Mother Earth, dear Child Earth, what do you need from me? Talk to me about yourself. So then you're having a conversation, but that means the second part is that you're hearing. I mentioned listening, to listen and have Earth write you back. The mother wants you to hear, but you can have a conversation with that. Write it out. See what the Mother Earth has to say. What does she need? Let her speak to us. She's speaking all the time, but are we listening? She's crying. She's crying. And that's the wailing, the song that you brought forth. So in the back of this book, it's like the beginning, the intro, the last chapter is called The Call of the Earth. The Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh was once asked, what do we need to save our world? His reply, what we most need to do is to hear within us the sounds of the earth crying. She is crying. When your baby cries, it'll be quiet someday, later. No, I'm going to go. And I'm going to tend to the baby that is calling. Spiritual ecology is a recognition that at the root of the ecological crisis we are now facing is a spiritual crisis. And the essence of this spiritual crisis is a forgetfulness of the sacred nature of creation. The work of spiritual ecology is for us to reconnect with the sacred so that we can return to a way of life that is in balance with the earth. The sacred is not something religious or spiritual. It's actually our nature. The indigenous people didn't have to realize things were sacred. They instinctively knew it, and we knew it too as children. But we've forgotten. We have forgotten the ways, and we need to return to those ways. It's only as we awaken to the awareness of the sacred within creation that we can begin to right the primal imbalance that lies at the root of our predicament. And here goes to what Timothy did. We also need to sense inwardly the loss of the sacred. All the ways in which, as a culture, we have lost our sense of inner being with all creation. We can recognize that loss everywhere around us. We need only go to the supermarket, for example, to witness our collective forgetting of the sacred connections in the food we eat as it comes from the soil onto our plate, so often wrapped in plastic. so little of life in our culture is treated as sacred. That's so true. This awareness can give rise to the feeling of grief. Grief at what we've lost, the beauty, the wonder, and the diversity of the world that we're desecrating. But the grief can also open our hearts and draw us towards love. Love for the earth that is so generous to us even when we treat it badly or neglect it. And nothing is more potent or vital at this time than our love for the earth. Love for the earth is the most fundamental connection of our heart and soul with this planet. Thich Nhat Hanh says, real change will only happen when we fall in love. Fall in love with our planet. Only love can show us how to live in harmony with nature and with each other and save us from the devastating effects of environmental destruction and climate change. You know, the indigenous people, they ask permission to the deer for meat. The gatherers asked the plants if they could take them for harvest. What is our part? What is your part? We may not be able to fully return to the indigenous ways, but we can start with our own consciousness using the Earth acronym that I shared. So in closing, and I have these, there's a couple blessings. The prayer. I invite you to close your eyes. Our mother, the earth. Our mother who is the earth, nurturing are your ways. Thy healing come, wholeness be done in us as it is beyond. Thank you this day for our daily bread, our water, our air, and for all the blessings you bestow. And forgive us for any harm we may have created as we atone for that harm. Lead us not into judgment, but deliver us to balance once again. For thine are the waters of life, the hills, valleys, and plains of home. Your way, the glory of us, the love of us, and the grace of us. Amen.
I'm going to sing the Joy Bringer song this morning, a song that came through me. And on my third year of my vision quest, the hummingbird says, you reach your joy by going through the grief. Through the well, the darkness of the well, down into the waters, you'll reach your joy. And I'm so joyful because I got a chance to hear this amazing musician that sits at this piano, Robert Mueller, last night. And in the jazz world, it's sort of a slang term, but we say, whoa, he's a monster, meaning like he can really play. And so I left the concert he was performing in, and I just got all lit up. I said, I'm going to sing the hummingbird like a jazz song. And he was here this morning, and he's the one who inspired this. So I invite you, Robert, to play how you play with this chant. We've never done this before, so it'll be an experiment. well, let me call in the hummingbird. And what's the key that I'm Winnie, Thank you.